理课堂听 class.com
Studio Classroom is on the air. Self-talk is a problem-solving technique, and today we're going to learn how it works. Hello, everyone. My name is Troy, and welcome to Studio Classroom Advanced Program. And today, we are continuing with our article from yesterday on psychology. And it's about why talking to yourself is good for you. If you remember from yesterday, with us in the studio, our two co-hosts were Pam and Kirby, and they are back with us again today. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, did you practice self-talk in between the recording of these programs?
Do you know, Troy, I'm a pretty natural self-talker, so I didn't have to practice. It just comes naturally.
Okay, and that's something we found out yesterday, that self-talk is only natural. In fact, it says that everyone is born a natural self-talker.
Yeah, and the word they used was instinctively, that children instinctively will talk to themselves and work out problems or repeat instructions that they receive from their parents to help them learn how to formulate and to learn about grammar.
Mm-hmm. We also learned yesterday that most of us, as we get older, I'm not sure at what age, but we have learned from society, unfortunately, that talking to ourselves is not a good thing, when in fact it needs to be a good thing. So rather than talk out loud, we become silent, and we have what the Dr. Berger called a silent inner speech. And yet it doesn't help us then to solve problems if we can't talk about it.
Yeah, we're just learning how important it is to not be afraid, to be able to say a few things to yourself. We also learned the term mutter yesterday, and sometimes it's okay to actually talk what we might also say under your breath, but just enough to you that you can vocalize them, talk about it. We'll learn today why some of those things are really important.
I have to admit it bothers me when someone, you know, when I have been stereotyped as a person who talks before I think. Now, that's not true. What I find is that while I'm talking, I am thinking. I'm actually talking out my thoughts, and it helps me to clarify my thinking when I talk. But then there are those other kinds of, you know, people, those who stereotype me as being a person who speaks before I think. They say, well, I think through everything I'm going to say before I speak.
Well, are they always silent then, Troy? Do they never speak?
It's just that before they speak, you know, they kind of pride themselves in having all of their thoughts clarified before they say something, when in fact they do not see that it is good to talk out your feelings and your thoughts in order to clarify them.
Yeah, and I think these people would probably never say that they don't think about what they say before they speak. They probably just have this silent inner talk that we've been talking about. They probably just vocalize their thoughts in their head, maybe even talking to themselves. But one way or the other, I think we all can't deny that we do some form of self-talk. And I think it's really important to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a good point, Kirby. I think that many of our listeners, if they've thought about this topic since yesterday's lesson, maybe they caught themselves muttering or saying a few words to themselves, perhaps while they were getting ready, perhaps while they were preparing for a lesson or for work. You don't realize oftentimes that you use self-talk. So I would challenge our listeners to take time today just to see if you can catch yourself using the self-talk method.
Okay, well, let's look then, before we begin the first reading here, let's just find out what are some of the techniques and what the benefits are. So here then is the first reading of today's lesson.
Talking techniques. In study after study, researchers have found that if people talk to themselves as they work, the words guide them and increase their focus and concentration on the task. Self-talk can be as simple as naming each step as you do it. When assembling the mechanical parts of a bicycle, for example, reading the instructions aloud helps. The sound of your voice blocks out external noise, while your mind arranges the instructions into logical steps for you to follow. You can take advantage of similar benefits to solve emotional dilemmas as well. In fact, if you've ever found it helpful just to talk with a friend or family member about something that's bothering you, that's because saying your thoughts aloud helps you organize the information, says Cameron Hardin, clinical psychologist at the California School of Professional Psychology. But why wait around for someone to listen?
So it says in our article, in study after study. So in the process of many studies or articles that have researched the topic of talking techniques, what have they found, Kirby?
Well, they found that people who talk to themselves as they work use those words to guide them and increase their focus and concentration on the particular task that we're doing. So these two things are added to what we learned yesterday or in our last lesson as well, that the self-talk helps you to improve your memory, to enhance concentration, maintain a bit of motivation, and raise your self-esteem. So we're finding two more benefits right now.
Okay, Pam, so self-talk can be as simple as naming each step as you do it. Have you done this before? And can you give us an example?
All the time, Troy. This is so practical. If I'm in the kitchen and I'm working through a brand new recipe, then very often I will hear myself saying out loud each step as I go, add a cup of flour, add half a cup of sugar, add a tablespoon of salt. And I do this because something may draw my attention away, and it helps reinforce in my mind, okay, I've already gotten down to step three. So very often in the kitchen, I hear myself talking to myself. Hmm.
And so by saying each of those steps, you're actually naming them, right?
That's right.
Or saying them specifically.
Mm-hmm. And it does guide a person. It does increase your focus and concentration on the task. Sometimes when I'm very busy and I perhaps am time conscious or perhaps out of time and I know I need to be somewhere within a few minutes and maybe I still have five or six things I need to do, I will start talking to myself in order to get those things done. And the reason I'm doing it is to remind myself of the next step, of the next step. Even before I've gotten to that step, I'm reminding myself so that my actions are more efficient that way. So there's another example here we have in the next paragraph, Kirby.
And this reminds me a little bit of myself. If I'm trying to build anything, I'm definitely one that pulls out all the instructions and wants to read them. And this says even reading them out loud. So if we're assembling or putting together the mechanical parts of a bicycle, like the chain and the gears and the brakes and the wheels and the frame and all those things that are part of a bicycle, it says reading the instructions out loud or aloud, is what they say, will often help. And then they give us a couple reasons why. But the first one is that the sound of your own voice may block out all these other distractions, like you mentioned in your recipe, Pam. If you're in the kitchen and the kids are out in the living room and you're trying to cook something, they might yell or like, hey, Mom, can you get something? And it helps to block those
things out.
That's right. And so your mind is arranging the instructions into logical steps. There's something about hearing it as opposed to thinking it that enhances your ability to remember it.
And I think, Troy, there's something about saying it out loud that puts it in a concrete or very physical or tangible form for us to not only hear, but then for us to follow. Again, as we learned yesterday, I think it helps us arrange our thoughts and then the actions that will follow.
Now, when I've taken tests back when I was in graduate school, and the tests that I did best on, that I had gotten A's on, were those that I developed some kind of memory tool. And part of that memory tool or technique was to repeat what I needed to know out loud. I would walk around the apartment repeating to myself what would be on the test and what my answer was. And so I was hearing it. And for some reason, it seemed to solidify or, again, enhance my ability to remember or recall that answer on the test.
And so that helped you in that very practical way of taking a test. Our author mentions here about assembling a bicycle, but we also find in that next paragraph that it helps us in some of our emotional dilemmas, it says, or emotional problems. A dilemma is just something where you have to choose between two or more options that might seem just as good or as of equal value, and you're not quite sure. So not only in practical things, but in our emotional things,
sure.
Our relationships and those things, it's also helpful.
And we might even use that, the word dilemma, in a situation regarding a relationship. You might say, well, recently I've been facing a dilemma in my relationship, or I have been facing a dilemma in my job. You might also say, I've been facing a job dilemma. So that means you're simply needing to choose between one of two things, and you are confused or you're not sure what to do.
And Troy, I think that many of us, when faced with problems in life, have found it helpful to talk with someone, perhaps a friend, a family member, maybe a counselor at school even. It helps for us to express our feelings. Mm. Well, the writer tells us that because saying your thoughts out loud helps you organize the information, perhaps it may be just as helpful to use the self-talk method if you would prefer not to talk with someone about this problem.
Okay, now the research that has been done that has providing us with this kind of information, lots of it probably comes from persons who have degrees in psychology as well as those who practice. Practicing psychologists such as Cameron Harden, the clinical psychologist at the California School of Professional Psychology. What is a clinical psychologist, Kirby?
Well, it's defined in our article here as a person who uses interviews and personality tests to describe, evaluate, and change human behavior. So they come in and people might have appointments with them, and they'll use these various techniques of evaluating their lives and the problems they might have, and then they'll offer solutions as to how they can fix those. And one of the solutions that they are offering is this self-talk technique that we mentioned in our previous lesson as being a problem-solving technique.
When I have found perhaps, I guess I'm actually revealing something personal here. It's kind of a personal nature, but, you know, in my interrelationships, when I have a dilemma or a problem with an individual, I will off by myself, maybe at home or in my office, I will start repeating to myself what that person said and what my response is. I'm trying to reason out what they said and discover, is there any basis of truth in what they said? You know, does it logically make sense? Is it reasonable? And so talking it out helps me to understand or to know whether or not what they said is reasonable and if my response is reasonable in turn.
And it sounds like you're in a similar situation as to the person we'll read about next in our article, as to someone who knows that they're maybe going to face a conflict or a situation. And like you said, they will maybe verbalize or talk through the different ways that conversation might go so that you're prepared for the other person's response. And you can think through and try to put yourself in their position and appreciate the frustrations they might have.
Okay, so this is one of the advantages of self-talk, one of the benefits. It can help us to solve emotional dilemmas or problems that we might be having interpersonally. So now let's listen to the rest of today's lesson.
Sherry McGregor, a 38-year-old mother of five, talks to herself to diffuse her emotions in tense situations. I needed to approach one of my kids' teachers the other day, so I rehearsed what I wanted to say. Speaking aloud to myself organizes my thoughts so I don't sound offensive or aggressive. I find people are more accommodating when I do this. Sherry was also better prepared because she considered how the teacher might respond to her. Sometimes the worries inside your head can keep you from thinking straight. Asking yourself questions and answering them is an effective way to calm yourself down or psych yourself up, depending on the situation. For instance, if the idea of public speaking makes you uncomfortable, try asking yourself, is everyone really going to expect my wording to be perfect? Answering this question should put your mind at ease and help you look at the circumstances realistically.
So, Kirby, just before the reading, you mentioned to us that, in fact, we do have an example of a Sherry McGregor in the article. She's a 38-year-old mother, and she uses the benefit of self-talk to help her solve an emotional dilemma.
Yeah, and in this situation, it was a problem with a teacher, it sounded like, and she needed to diffuse or to make a tense situation less tense or less severe. She probably had a problem where maybe one of her five children came home and had either gotten in trouble or there appeared to be a misunderstanding. So she wanted to protect her child and go claim their rights in the situation. And she knew that she was emotional, so she wanted to talk through this discussion, help organize her emotions and her thoughts, and go in and have a productive meeting.
Okay, the word diffuse, Pam.
Diffuse just simply means to take a situation that's already tense and make it less severe, make it a little more calm. Now, Troy, I can completely relate to this example. As a mother with children in school, many times through the years, you will probably have meetings at school, sometimes that you've asked for, sometimes that the teacher asks for. But I, in the past, have done exactly the same thing that Sherry McGregor did not so long ago. Mm-hmm. I needed to meet with someone at one of the schools. And because I didn't want to sound defensive or on the attack, I practiced at home what I needed to say, what points I wanted to make, and then practiced listening, just listening.
Okay, so the word here, diffuse, it's kind of interesting because the word fuse, F-U-S-E, is that small piece of flax or wick that you will see on a stick of dynamite or that on cartoons will fuse a bomb.
There are fuses on firecrackers.
Fuses on firecrackers
that
people light, right? So to defuse then makes it a negative. It means to remove the fuse, to find some way to keep that fuse from being lit so that you won't have some kind of an explosion. In this case, an emotional explosion, or she didn't want to sound defensive and aggressive. So by talking to herself, she could diffuse her tense feelings and emotions.
And again, we see this same word there, speaking aloud to myself. I think it's the fifth time we've actually seen it in this lesson already, or the articles up to this point. And that's the key here, is to actually put your thoughts out into the air and hear how they might sound out loud as you speak them. And she says that way she was able to find out if she sounded defensive. And this is another psychological term, which we actually didn't include in the psychology terms, but to be defensive just means like you're constantly protecting yourself from criticism, or you don't want somebody to point out your shortcomings or the things that are wrong with you, so you always have these protective walls, and usually how you protect yourself is by getting mad.
So
and you figure if you get mad, then that person will be quiet.
Sure. So it's good to take time, talk to yourself, reason with yourself about the situation, and understand that the teacher or whoever is involved in this interpersonal dilemma probably has a reason for their feelings too, and you need to understand that. And if you do this, it will make you more accommodating.
That's right, and accommodating just simply means that you're helpful and willing to do what someone else wants. So I completely agree with her last sentence here. I find people to be more accommodating when I do this. In other words, when she uses this self-talk method. Now, Troy, we know that when we go into any situation with someone else, if we go in defensive and aggressive, it causes them to want to defend themselves. They won't be quite so accommodating if we go in with that manner.
Okay.
And I think one of the most important parts of this entire article is that next sentence. And it says that Sherry was also better prepared because she considered how the teacher might respond to her. Now, in this situation, I think it's so important to understand in situations of conflict, you need to try to understand where the other person is coming from, why they feel the way they feel, because they feel like their feelings are legitimate too, right? They have a right to feel the way they do.
So sometimes we'll say, just hearkening back to this word accommodating, if you have been into someone's home and they've treated you very well and as a guest, you can say, thank you. You've been very accommodating in my time here. So it's a very good word. So according to what we just realized about Sherry McGregor and her situation, we would say that she needed to calm herself down. But in some situations, you need to psych yourself up, as we read in the article. You need to excite yourself. It just depends on the situation. What do we mean by the phrase to psych yourself up?
Well, to psych yourself up just means to prepare yourself mentally before doing something, to get yourself ready to go, to try to think about the things that frighten you and then think in a positive way that will help you emotionally and mentally overcome them.
Okay, so if you need to calm yourself down, you might say a phrase such as this. Okay, calm down now. You know, you will have a good day today. Calm down. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. You will have a good day today. That's positive self-talk. In fact, it's actually in the article. We can see a picture of this young lady looking at herself in the mirror, talking to herself, telling herself, you're going to have a good day today. She's probably had several bad days, and so she's trying to now psych herself up, perhaps. And she might also be needing to calm herself down. If
that's
she's feeling
right.
excited or anxious.
And what we might call these, and actually in the world of psychology today, there's something called affirmations, which are just positive statements that you would say to yourself. So that young lady at the bottom of the page there is giving herself positive affirmations, trying to give herself a good outlook on life. That is one form of self-talk. Mm. We've also talked about how self-talk can be working through a problem or saying the steps of how to make a recipe or to put a bicycle together. That is another form of self-talk.
Now, to psych yourself up, this is something that athletes commonly do. They will, before a game, get together and they will start psyching themselves up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a coach, Kirby, a basketball coach.
I've definitely been a coach, and the people that are listening and have their magazine can look across the page and see that young boxer there. He is psyching himself up. If you can see by the poster on the wall, this is Rocky versus the Beast, and Rocky definitely doesn't look like a beast, but he is saying, I can do it. I will beat him, and
yes.
he is exactly doing that thing. He's psyching himself
yes.
up so he will believe that he can win this boxing match.
Well, this year, Studio Classroom, together with another group, we actually had a speech contest, and in that contest, we saw several university students, college students, come together in order to demonstrate their ability to use a second language, English, in order to speak to a certain topic. And so at the speech contest, we saw students there psyching themselves up. Yes, I can do it. They kept reciting their speech, but they were needing to do that because they weren't feeling very positive. So they will use this method as a way to stimulate their emotions and their thoughts about themselves as they want positive thoughts.
So the idea of psyching yourself up oftentimes comes when you need more confidence, are worried or fearful, right?
Yes, exactly. So we see here that you might do this with public speaking, as in the case of a speech contest. In fact, you might even ask yourself, you know, well, is everyone really going to expect my wording to be perfect? The person might say, no, of course not. Well, actually, if it's a speech contest, you do get a 10 if everything is perfect, yes.
And I think though, that, again, the method helps. Troy, think about the crowd that you're speaking before. Now, I'm like you. If I ask myself this question, I'll think about the crowd, and many times my answer will be, well, yes, they do expect my wording to be pretty perfect.
Yes.
Or, well, perhaps not. This is a crowd of people who know me. I'll be maybe a bit more comfortable with them. But it helps to self-talk and remind yourself who you will be speaking before and what the process will be. Just calm yourself down, but get yourself ready.
And remind yourself that you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's an important point. I think that anybody that expects anyone to give up and give any kind of a presentation outside of maybe a speech contest where everything is measured and judged and you have to determine a winner, than any other public speaking event, if people expect your speech to be perfect, then they have the problem. And you don't, because we're not going to ever speak perfectly, just like we experience in this radio program, right? We stumble on our words and we might get thoughts just slightly misorganized.
And that's true in normal conversation.
That's
when
right.
we're talking to other people, we don't always share our thoughts perfectly and eloquently as we would want to. So we really don't do everything perfect unless it's manuscripted and well written, and then you might not even say it perfectly.
Right.
I mean, someone would say, well, you didn't quite give enough emphasis to that word.
Yeah.
You know. Well, let's psych ourselves up now as we listen to today's skit.
Hey, boss, can we talk for a minute? Yeah, anyways, I had a small problem, and I'd like to work it out. You see, I don't make enough money, and, well, I have bills, a lot of bills, and I do a lot of work for you, and I put in extra hours, and always finish on time. So, boss, I deserve a raise, a big one, and if you don't give it to me, then I quit.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. What?
What are you talking about? The boss isn't even here.
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking to myself, you see. I really want to talk to our boss, but he scares me, and I get nervous.
So you're yelling at your computer?
No, see, I've got a picture of him on the screen. I'm practicing what I want to say to him before I actually say it to him. That way I'll remember what I want to say and what to say next in case I forget.
I see. Does this work?
Boy, I sure hope so.
Well, good. Hey, can I ask a favor?
Sure.
I don't think you're crazy or anything, but could you just talk to yourself quieter? I'm trying to work over here.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so he was rehearsing what he wanted to tell the boss. He was kind of psyching himself up. He was also listening to his own reasoning, and which would help him. When he meets the boss, he'll know how to answer in case the boss responds in a certain way.
And it seems as he was going through that self-talk that he was gaining confidence or more of this what might be considered self-esteem. So that's kind of the point here, too.
Okay, so the technique of self-talk can help us to calm ourselves down. It can also help us to psych ourselves up. That's what we got from today's lesson, Pam.
It can also help us, Troy, to look at the situation realistically and to think about the responses that we may get in return.
Yeah, and the word we talked about there is we might have emotional dilemmas, or there might be dilemmas at work where we have to make a choice between two or more reasonable options.
Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, we thank you that you chose as your option to listen to today's program, and we hope that you have benefited from it. And tomorrow we will continue to talk about this in slightly a different way. We're going to talk about what to do if we experience setbacks. And until then, this is Troy.
And Pam.
And Kirby.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.